Deuteronomy chapter 30. When all these things have come on you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, we've been reading them in the last three chapters, and you call them to mind among all the nations where Yahweh your God has driven you, and return to Yahweh your God, and obey his voice with all your heart and with all your soul, then Yahweh your God will turn your captivity and have compassion on you. He will return and gather you from all the peoples where Yahweh has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of the heavens, from there will Yahweh your God gather you and bring you back. Yahweh will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. Well, the idea was that if they were scattered into the Gentile world, which is what happened to them, if they then returned to God, God would return them to their land. And in Hebrew, and remember that the Bible, the Old Testament, was written mainly in Hebrew, certainly not in English. In Hebrew, the words for repent and return are the same. The idea was, if you return to me, I will return you to your land. Well, they never really did repent when they were in exile. Look at the book of Esther. They were very assimilated into the world around them. They were wealthy. They were prosperous. They were worshipping other local gods, carrying the names of their gods, like Mordecai as a form of Marduk. And Ezekiel, he was amongst the captives, and he laments how they just said, no, we got nothing to repent of. God's unreasonable. He's punishing us for what our parents did. And yet all the same, God made King Cyrus of Persia say to the Jews in Persia, go back to your land. Anyone who wants to go back, go back. And I will give you whatever you need, the resources to rebuild your temple and rebuild your city. But most of them didn't go. And yet here it says that they would only be returned by God if they returned to God. They didn't repent, but still God tried to, as it were, force through his purpose with them. Now this doesn't mean that God is not serious. It's just a window onto God's huge fatherly love for his children. I want to give this to you. I want to bless you. Okay, you didn't fulfill the conditions, but all the same, I want to do this to you. Yahweh your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, they had broken the old covenant, and so God said at the time when they were to return, I will make a new covenant with you, which involves me putting my law into your heart, which involves me doing something to your mind. What is called here circumcising your heart. Now, circumcision was the cutting on the most intimate, private body part of a man. And God is saying, I also will work in the most deep, inner, most intimate part of your thinking so that you love me with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, that is what every spiritually minded person really wants. I want to think in a different way. Sure, God, come, be involved. Yes, work on my heart. That is all the same relevant to us because, sadly, Israel and Judah didn't want that new covenant for the most part. But now, we who are baptized into Jesus, we accept that new covenant. This is the work of the Holy Spirit today in our hearts. It's not a case of speaking in tongues and doing miracles and all those things. That's all finished. That was just in the first century. But now God will work directly in our hearts to circumcise our heart, to cut off the flesh out of our thinking. Yahweh your God will put all these curses on your enemies. You will return and obey the voice of Yahweh and do all his commandments, which I command you this day. Yahweh your God will make you plenteous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your animals. If you will obey the voice of Yahweh your God, and if you turn to Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So if you in your heart, in your mind, turn to God, God will circumcise your heart. God will work in your heart. This commandment which I command you this day is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's quite wrong to think that the law of God is like a chain or a leash that sort of restrains us and it's all too difficult. No, God wouldn't have made it like that because he wants to save us. He loves us. It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it back down to us and make us hear it that we may do it. No, God is saying, look, I'm going to work in your heart. You haven't got to go up to heaven to get something from me. I'll come to you and work right in the very intimate parts of your thinking. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go down into the deep for us and bring it up and make us hear it that we may do it. No, the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Behold, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. I command you this day to love Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways that you may live and that Yahweh may bless you. So then we are given this same choice. And there is no third way. It's either life or death. It's either love God or hate him. It's either choose good for yourself or choose evil. There is no third way. And because it's like that, we therefore need to go the way of God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, absolutely and totally. Because there's no third way. At the day of judgment, it's either to the right hand or to the left. Eternal life or eternal death, that is the choice. And that is the choice before us now. And so Moses is pleading with them, as I try to plead with you, to see that there are only two choices in the end in life. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you may live. Love Yahweh, obey his voice, and cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Well, by being baptized into Jesus, as Paul says in Galatians, the promises to Abraham are made to us. And this is no mere history that we're reading. God likewise has promised us as Abraham's seed that we shall inherit the land forever. Therefore, with life and death in front of us, therefore choose life that you may live. And so there's only those two choices. There is no third way. There is no bit of this and bit of that or, well, yeah, I'll sort this out later in my life. No, there is only those two choices. And therefore, choose life and give yourself completely, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength to him and to his way and the way that leads to the kingdom.